When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Chase my problems and time keeps on dragging. Can't get away from the fact I've been slacking. Oh, despite the cost, you know I got to trot on, trot on.
What up, Dynasty players in the house? It's Dynasty War Games, and I'm your host, Jesse Schneeman. We're going to be mocking it out tonight. What's up, Austin? How you doing tonight?
Lovely, man. It's the middle of the best part of Dynasty season. Rookie drafts. Just got to see where all these rookies went. Man, I'm excited. How are you?
I'm great. Yeah, it's like every day is like Christmas morning. It's
awesome. It is nice getting that notification you're on the clock.
Yeah, man. All right. And right on time is my main man, Chad Mendoza. How you doing tonight, Chad?
Pretty good, guys. Hold on. Give me one moment. I'm still setting stuff up here. Just trying to get my mic set up.
Oh, yeah. No worries.
Okay. Sweet. Appreciate it.
I don't mean to rush you. I just, because we're live, and I said we were going to live at 10, I wanted to make sure we were here for everybody.
Oh, my bad. Didn't realize we were live. Gotcha. Yes, okay. Sir. Let me mute myself. I'll get set up.
Oh, yeah. No worries.
Only two minutes late. That's pretty good for Chad.
That's why I said right on time. Yeah. Because that is
That's pretty good. That's actually early, if we're going to be completely honest, but that's pretty good.
Right on. Make any good trades this week?
I don't know about good, but I made some.
Okay. Been trading up, trading down?
Mostly acquiring. I haven't had any of my rookie drafts where I had early first yet for the opportunities to do the trade downs. P9 is really the only league that I've done where I've had the ability to do any drafting. A couple of other leagues that have started, I didn't have any draft picks.
Gotcha.
You know, that trying to win a championship thing.
Yeah, I've been through three of those already.
Yeah. It's not nearly as fun.
Yeah.
But I did do some trading in there. I acquired the – what did I acquire? The two – a second and a third and – or 2 seconds. Excuse me. 211, 3-1, 3-11. And that was for Joe Mixon.
Wow.
Thought it was fine. It was cheap, but at the same time, it gave me some picks. So
I take it. What was the second? Where was the second round pick?
211.
Oh, okay. That's what he's worth.
And I lied. That's P2. I'm sorry. Not P9.
P2.
That's, right. Yeah, that's the league that I've taken on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's funny is the guy that owned that team before you gave up, like, the entire universe for Joe Mixon.
Yeah. And it was better than I thought. I got confused. It was 2-7, 3-1, and 3-4.
Okay. That's good. That's good for Mixon.
Yeah. So I got A.D. Mitchell, Malachi Corley, and J.T. Sanders.
Nice. Couple guys you like.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Yeah, Mitchell at 2-7 felt like worth the risk of trading Mixon away, because I do think he's a good shot to gain value.
A.D. Mitchell?
Mixon. I don't like selling vets in the offseason. It's not my cup of tea normally, but right. With Mitchell sitting there at 2-7, it made it a little bit easier to swallow.
Yeah. I have no A.D. Mitchell. I probably won't, to be honest with you.
Mid-second felt risk-averse enough.
Yeah, I hear you. What are you really getting?
Yeah.
I mean, that Yeah, 207. That's probably like where he's going. But
yeah,
and, that's the part of the draft that I'm trying to trade out of. Either trade up, trade down, or trade into next year.
Yeah, I don't really want to trade down much. I mean, I feel like after roughly the 2.9, it just kind of feels completely flat. At least I feel like I'm getting some upside before that. Where after that, it's like, oh man, I like this guy, but the situation's most likely not going to see a boom in value unless I get lucky. Whereas, like, I can see.
For me, I think it depends. Like, with Quorum, if Quorum, in a few of my leagues, Quorum's been going pretty early. And that's like pushed some guys back, and that's helped quite a bit. But, yeah, I'm with you though. After that, I think Polk is kind of the last guy that I'm like, all right, I kind of like this situation here for him.
Yeah. I traded into the third. Because Polk was just sitting there at like 304 in one of my drafts. I was like,
oh, wow.
The hell's going on here? Yeah. I mean, he's not my favorite player in the world. He's not on my favorite team in the world. But he's better than 304. You know, I think I gave up a third and a fourth to get him.
And he's going to get all the opportunity in the world. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's definitely no question about the volume. He's not going to be blocked by anyone.
Yeah. I've been trading up in the late thirds to get Javon Baker for that same reason. I keep seeing him at 310, 311, 312, 401, and it's like, I'll take the risk at that point.
Yeah, that's around where he's going, and I'm very comfortable taking him there.
Yeah.
Who's your guys' like favorite like sleeper, no pun intended, but like sleeper pick where you're just kind of, you know, this is your guy. You're going to get him in like the third, late fourth, early fourth kind of round area. Other than Javon Baker, like
I was about to say, that
he probably should go a little bit earlier. And I think he is in my drafts.
For me, mine is a little later. I'm just scooping whoever. Like, I'm still working off my rankings at that point. But a little later, I'm hoping and praying that Malik Washington falls to me everywhere. Like, fourth or fifth round, I'll take him.
Okay, nice. Well, yeah, my RB11 went to the Giants, which I'm
Tyrone Tracy.
Tyrone Tracy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay.
And, man, like, he could beat out Singletary, like, you know, in the year at some point in this year. Like, there's nobody other than Singletary there. You know, they've got
Eric Gray.
I mean, yeah, but Eric Gray hasn't shown anything. They also have forgetting my own players here.
Matt Breida?
No, Matt Breida's not on the team anymore. Dreds, he got his Dreads. He's drafted
Devontae Foreman
years ago. No.
Brightwell?
Brightwell, Gary Brightwell. Yeah, so he's also there. But
I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was saying. It's Eric Gray, Gary Brightwell, and Singletary. I mean, he's going to have every opportunity to win that job. And as far as like a back with all the upside in the world, I mean, this guy was a wide receiver converted to running back. He's only been playing the position for, you know, a handful of days here. So,
excellent point.
Yeah.
You know what? I lied and I forgot. I have gotten 3 or 4 shares of Ray Davis.
Yeah,
mid to late third, because I just like him there.
Yeah, I feel like you've taken him every draft I've seen.
It's not like I'm not like going after him. He's just there, and I like him better than Audric Estime, or, you know, sorry, I like him better than Javon Baker. So like, a little better than Sanders, about the same as Sinet, to be honest. So like, to be able to get him there, you know. Speaking of Devin Singletary, I kind of think he's the new Devin Singletary in Buffalo.
Yeah, it could be.
And they've been looking for a guy to take those inside carries and like the goal line and the kind of meat and potatoes kind of stuff that they were using Latavius Murray for. So, you know, he's obviously an upgrade over Latavius Murray. It'd be nice to see if he can actually get a little volume paired with James Cook, but He's not spectacular or anything, but I think he's just kind of good at a lot of things. He's got really good footwork, decent power for his size.
Yeah. What about Bucky Irving? Are you guys? I don't know why I'm so excited about Bucky Irving. And
I like him in the same range as Ray Davis. He just hasn't made it to me.
I wasn't really excited about him pre-draft, but this landing spot and just his skill set and what Tampa's been, shown to love over the years. I really like this landing spot for him. I think it's been super underrated.
I think it's very good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting.
It's hard to say I like him better than Rashad White, but if you were to compare the two prospects, I probably liked Bucky Irving better than the prospect of Rashad White, who I wasn't really big on.
Yeah.
I'm probably not taking a single running back in the third, to be honest.
Well,
looking at the guys there.
Yeah.
I don't think they're very good, to be honest, and I don't think their situations are very good. So I'll take the two tight ends, and I'll just take my dart throw at receiver that at least I liked the tape on.
Yeah.
Over these guys that I just think are going to clog my roster for 2 years and I don't want to drop, and here they are. And like in the fourth and fifth is better. Fourth and fifth is much better. I'll take my risk on like a Rasheen Ali, Juwan Jordan, like you said, Tyron Tracy. Those guys, I'm totally fine because the cost is nothing. And I don't mind dropping them in 6 months when they're on the practice squad.
Yeah. I mean, Tyron Tracy got fifth round draft capital. Like, it's not. I mean,
yeah,
he's still yeah, got, and early, bad. Early fifth. Yeah. I mean, that was early fifth round capital because they picked that the sixth pick. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like he's a throwaway player. He's a player they think highly of in a great situation.
All right, Chad, you asked for the link. Are you going to get into the mock?
Oh, I was into it. Give me a second here.
I left you the easy pick.
103.
I was kidding. You didn't see my face.
All right. Yeah. So that's what we're doing here tonight. We are going to mock it out.
All right.
Give you some insights post draft for those who haven't started drafts yet. But I mean, if you're listening to this, you're probably in the DWZ Patreon. So you've most likely done some drafts already. Thanks, Neil.
Yeah. All of mine are done that I'm in with the DWZ. They're all done.
Mine aren't. Yeah, I've still got several. And this auction draft is going to take forever.
Hey, y'all got through, so what, good. Four guys today? Thanks, Jesse.
What?
For taking the whole day up not getting anything done? I saw
that. Oh, I didn't do that. I didn't do anything.
Patreon 11? Well, yeah. I mean, you were there and you have negative dollars. So
yeah, so you
that's not my fault. That's not my fault. That is 100% Neil's fault. Yo, y'all are missing an opportunity to pile on Neil. Come on. Let's go.
Well, he's not here. It's fun
piling on you.
Yeah,
you're. I mean, it's 100% his fault because I traded away my. I traded the $300 I had in draft capital for Michael Pittman.
Couldn't keep one. Couldn't keep $1.
Do you blame me for that?
Couldn't keep $1.
That's the one who goes for $300.
You can't keep $1. You trade picks.
Whatever. Anyways, I would have found a way to keep $1.
I was even trying to be nice, and I'm like, all right, well, what guy is Chad not high on? I'll nominate him because I was going to try and get some money off the board for
him. Keep doing that, man. I appreciate it. I take back everything I said. You're I mean, not your fault at all. I don't know why people are
thanks,
saying
Dick
that.
Face. I mean, thanks, Chad.
Completely dumb. Yeah, it's so dumb. Don't worry about it, dude.
But no, seriously, I traded my $300 draft dollars for Michael Pittman. Can you blame me?
Yeah, that was good. That was a good move. Yeah.
Especially on that team that's so deep, it's ridiculous. All right, y'all. I'm not here to brag about my teams, even though they're all awesome.
Let's save that for other weeks.
Save that for when we're not recording.
Yeah, let's, or by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Let's save that for when you're not talking to us.
By myself.
Yeah.
It's cool. The wife certainly doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you could be talking to someone, just not us. Either one of us. Yeah.
Yeah. Make it Mike, actually, when he's in the pod. That's how often I want you to do it. Every time he joins.
So never.
Shh. All right, y'all, let's do this. Let's tell these people how to mock it out, or actually how to, what to do in their drafts, or what we would do anyway. Try to answer a couple questions along the way. I took Caleb number one. That's chalk. I've only seen one draft where it didn't go that way, and that was Patreon too. Yeah, but this, I mean, it's obvious with the scoring in that league. You know, it's 4-point passing touchdowns, 25 yards equals a point. There's no extras.
It's my
negative points for picks and pick sixes, and it's tough. Quarterback scoring is really
good. It might as well be a 1-quarterback league, to be honest with you.
I just went through, and I have a god-awful roster, and I didn't take a quarterback in a 5-round rookie draft.
Yeah,
well, that's how I feel about it. It's just, I don't even care. Like, I rock
with you still have to have.
I think
you
he has Baker, though, right? Yeah, Baker. Huh?
Yeah, Baker and Minshew.
Yeah. That might not be bad this year, to be honest with you.
I'll trade him to you when the time comes.
Not me. I'll be struggling right there with you, buddy.
All right. Question. Is there any regular, let's say, 6-point normal scoring league where you're taking – MHJ over Caleb, and what is your reasoning?
Nah, I'm not.
Well, Chad, you were the proponent before, so let's hear.
There is
now.
A scenario where I'm doing it, and that scenario is
if you have 102.
No, smartass. I was gonna say if I have like 105, and I think I can get May. So getting Marvin Harrison in May rather than getting Caleb and Adunze. Maybe that's the better move just because of the landing spot and with the wide receiver, because I think May is going to figure it out there in New England personally. So,
okay. I can't do it. I asked because I know specifically, Chad, you were heavy proponent of MHJ, and he went to the best landing spot possible for his projected draft capital.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if you've – I just don't think I can pull the trigger. I feel like Caleb is really in a situation he can't fail. The weapons around him, I mean, heck, if he can just halfway throw him the ball, they're going to push him to 3,000 yards and 20 to 25 touchdowns in a terrible season.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would have to be like, I don't know. If Marvin Harrison wasn't just such an elite prospect in my eyes, I mean, he's damn near perfect to me.
Yeah.
And that's the reasoning behind it is I think you're just trading off a perfect player at quarterback for a perfect player at wide receiver. And then I also just really, really, really like Drake May. Like I would take him 102. The only reason I don't do it is because I know I don't have to basically. I would take him at 102 if I was forced to make a pick there and it was between the two quarterbacks that are left other than Caleb.
I have seen a ton of May at like 107 and 108, and it just does feel really, really good.
Yeah, man.
All right,
one. Let's go.
In that case, I'll chalk the next pick and go Marvin Harrison Jr. As I already said, felt like the perfect landing spot. Really curious to see what this does to Kyler's ADP and value. I've attempted to trade for him this week, and apparently is a lot harder. So it must be going up. But it's the perfect spot. They don't have an alpha. Now they do. It seems I love it.
I mean, I think it went up before the draft, just with people anticipating he was going there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kyler's ADP has skyrocketed this offseason.
Even the pick has to get made, though, right? Like, that's, everybody could be, raising the cost artificially, but until it actually happens, it's not going to hit that peak where, because everybody's in the back of their head, they're like, well, we've seen this before where we've mocked something to happen every single time, all off season, and then when it actually comes down to draft day, something ridiculous happens or something completely different than what we're thinking.
Sure. And then they trade out to the Vikings, and all of a sudden then they're picking, Jalen Polk in the second.
Yep.
DJ Chark to the Chargers, live on our show.
Really? I just cut him today.
I just did yesterday.
Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
No, yeah, it doesn't matter.
All right, Chad, who you got?
Okay, so really like the landing spot of this guy. I saw some interviews. Really, really funny. Keon Cole. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Drake May. I know that's not consensus. I'm just, man, I'm sold. I love Drake May so much. In landing spots, it's just a whole new situation there in New England. Maybe if sure. If Belichick was still there and it was just the old regime and same old, I'd be a little concerned. But yeah, new regime. You know, I think they're gonna start something there. Hopefully build around him. Keep trying to build around him. And yeah, I like the player a lot, so I'm gonna go Drake May.
Yeah, at least they tried to add some. I got it. At least they tried to add some weapons around him. They still need to work on their line quite a bit, but yeah, I don't hate the landing spot. It's kind of the worst one out of the top few that were there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably so.
It's not as bad as the Raiders.
It's actually probably better than the Giants situation, to be honest with you.
Really? With Dable?
I mean, without Neighbors there, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean that.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I'm thinking of the Giants with Neighbors. Yeah.
Yeah, with Neighbors. Yeah, but they can't do both. So.
Right on. All right. Well, that makes shit real easy for me. I love Jada Daniels' landing spot. So, I mean, I'm all over it. For me, he's the 103. Just the weapons. The system will work for, you know, a year or two, and then Kingsbury will get fired. And at that point, I feel like Daniels' ADP will be really high. Either Kingsbury will get fired or he'll take a head coaching job in college or in the pros. But I've just... looking at a sort of a short-term type of thing to just, you know, boost the Daniel stock. I'm not so sure that I'm going to, like, hold on to him forever, but I think that he's going to have a quick rise.
I'm terrified, I'll be honest. But I have been this whole draft cycle. It feels a lot like Anthony Richardson, how I felt last year. Obviously, completely different prospects.
I have no problems with that. Yeah, I made a lot of money on Anthony Richardson playing two games.
Obviously, completely different prospects, but just that same feeling of like, I don't know if he's going to be any good for me more than a year or two. Kind of like how you just said. And I don't know if he, I just don't know. I don't like it. I haven't taken a share yet. But also, like I mentioned at the very beginning, I haven't had a chance where I have my 103s and 104s. So. We'll see what happens when that time comes, if I can pull the trigger or not.
One thing I like about the landing spot quite a bit is the ownership. Obviously, I'm a Sixers fan, being from Philly. It's the same owner. So I've seen how he's handled the Sixers. And he treats his stars well. You know, he treats his teams well. They'll have good facilities. It'll be a professional work environment. So, like, all that old, stupid, like, it's the Redskins bullshit and their horrible culture, I assume is gone, unless there's a couple like bad apples still left, but I doubt it. I'm pretty sure Josh Harris weeded all that stuff out. So to me, it's a really stable landing spot, and you know, the weapons are already made. The line needs a little work. Fingers crossed he stays healthy. I guess he is skinny as shit.
Dude, he takes so many hits, man.
Yeah. Like, you're going to have to learn not to do that.
He does keep getting up.
That's easier said than done, though. I mean, he just doesn't have that like natural ability to know when to, like, you remember Russ early on, and he just magically would never get hit no matter, like, and when he did get hit, it would always look like it just wasn't that big of a hit because he just knew how to move with contact. Daniels just gets hit.
I feel like a lot of the really talented rushing quarterbacks like Lamar, a lot of those guys don't get hit a lot because they're just so elusive and so under control.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, yeah, they like halfway avoid a tackle even when it's straight on. So yeah. Right. But Jaden just gets hit, man. Every time I'm like, there's so many games where I watched, I remember that Ole Miss game, the Florida game. There's a few others, can't think of them off the top of my head, where he just gets hit and I'm like, Why? What did we do? Like, what was the point of taking that hit? But yeah, I'm hoping that's not a problem going forward. But that crap scares me, especially with how small he is.
It definitely scares me, but the talent, the super flex, the arm talent, the rushing ability. It's all there. I'm in at 104 in a super flex. I'm absolutely in.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I'm trying to trade the pick, to be honest. When my time comes, I'd rather see what kind of bigger fish I could swing on the – if people like, you know, love Daniels, which a lot of people do, mm-hmm. I think I'd rather try to move the pick or move back either way, whatever I could do. But
I'm real confident in taking it, and I don't I just – it's such a tier down from Daniels and May to the rest of the guys for me. It's not worth trading down.
Yeah, but the cool thing is I can almost always get May. I can almost always get May at 5, 6, 7. I haven't seen him go at 3 or 4 yet.
That's true. I mean, that's legit. If you can trade down from 3 or 4 and still get May, then that's
awesome. Like I'll never actually take May here at 103 because you don't have to, right? Yeah. Like I'm just doing it here because it's just
sometimes you do.
Yeah.
Sometimes there aren't willing to trade up.
I mean, but even if you're not like you can always take just a little bit. Like, hey, look, I like all these guys the same. Give me a late second and I'll move with you. Even if it's just that. If that's the player you want to pick anyways, then
yeah.
I've done that where I'm like, hey, I'll give you a ridiculous deal right now. Give me your 211 and you can move up a spot.
Yeah, that's very true. And I lied. I did trade out of 103 and y'all are both in the lead. Y'all didn't help me. In P2, I traded out and got Pittman in the 109.
Oh, that's right. I saw that.
Nice.
Little cheaper than I wanted, but again, I just didn't want to make the pick because I was probably going to take Neighbors, and I didn't really want to take Neighbors that early.
Who'd you take with the 109?
Worthy.
Mm. Okay.
So
I traded up to the 101 in a league.
What'd you give up?
I gave up. Let me get it pulled up right now.
I did too.
Two picks.
I'm wondering who got a better deal.
So I actually traded with Nick Burnett. Let's see. So he gave me 101. I gave him 105 and 109.
Oh, I'd do that all day. All day. Easily.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'd probably even give up an early second with it, too.
Yeah.
You got a better deal than I did. So let's see.
Let me check on the players because I remember like after I was so excited about that move. I thought it was such a good deal. And then some players just fell to him and I was like, damn. Which is fine.
I gave up 104, 109, Marvin Mims in 304.
Yeah, it's not much different.
But it's more.
So it's a late second and a third and one pickup. I mean, it's not much different.
Yeah, so I got Caleb. He ended up with Neighbors and McCarthy.
Which, 109 McCarthy's pretty solid.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Yeah, I mean, some good players really fell to him. Neighbors falling to 105 hasn't. I haven't seen that a ton. Uh-uh. He's usually going 103.
So did May go at 4 then?
I took May at 106.
So who went forward? Did Bowers go?
I think I told you guys this in the chat. Bo Nix went 104.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the craziest pick I've seen all offseason so far, all draft season so far. And we've done in the Patreon here, we've done a lot of drafts.
I'm not gonna laugh at him yet, man. I've
no,
laughed
no, no,
a
no.
lot
I
of
mean,
picks
take your guy, and, right? Yeah,
I've,
take your guy.
I've laughed a lot, and all of a sudden that pick looks really good. So I'm not gonna do it.
I mean, just go back a year and look at the trades you made a year ago, and you're going to be like, did I actually
I don't want to
do
that. I don't want to.
So the part of that negotiation was he wanted the 205, and I just wouldn't give it to him. I think I subbed in Marvin Mims instead. Mm. And ended up trading on the clock 205 for a 26 first.
That's a win.
Mm. Yeah.
Who was the pick at 205?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Yeah, because you kind of got to look at the players at this point and be like, okay, well, who did I actually give up?
Yeah.
I didn't love the players that were on the clock, and that's why I kind of wanted to.
What, did somebody already take Corum?
Blake Corum at 205. I don't love that. I don't have zero.
105.
Yeah.
I have zero Blake Corum shares so far in all of my drafts, by the way. So.
Y'all hear that, people? He lied to you.
All yeah, what you, want. You know what, Austin?
He tricked you all into making the pick so he doesn't have to.
I see where smart. You're
coming from now, Jesse.
Very yeah. smart.
Playing 3D chess over here.
Oh, actually,
I knew there was no possible way you liked Blake Corum that much.
He's got to like Bill Belichick.
All right, both y'all shush. Both y'all shush. What actually happened was I took Penix with the pick, and the guy offered me the 26 first for him. And I thought to myself, well, that's kind of what I want Penix to turn into. Is it? Yeah, yep. I want him to sit for a couple years and then be worth a first that year. So
I kind of get it on his point too, though.
Yeah, I'd probably want Penix, to be honest with you. But
I kind of get it. Well, I get your side totally. Hell
yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. First. I get it. Yeah.
But also, I kind of understand what he did. He's like, look, you know, I'm going to bet that in 2 years, Penix is worth more than my 26 first.
Yeah. And if his team is good, then he'll probably be right.
The day Penix takes the field, you're not getting him for just a random first.
Correct.
You know, like it's yeah. As soon as Kirk gets hurt, or Kirk has a poor few games.
You know, but that's that. You're going to know what that pick is by that time, right? So his team better be good. Or
well, we don't know that. You don't have to defend it. I get it.
No, yeah, we're saying we get it both ways. We get it both ways. I'm just saying
it's interesting.
I personally prefer the Penix side of that deal, but I get both sides. Sure.
All right, 105. I will go ahead and take Malik Nabers off the board, and be pretty dang happy about it.
Yeah,
I feel like he's going to be a target hog. Daniel Jones can just be like half decent, I think he's got the I guess third best odds for rookie of the year, in my opinion.
What you have to hope for is that line can hold.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You're not hoping he's half decent. You're hoping he's healthy. Fair. I mean,
well, they got Drew Lock, maybe.
I mean, it doesn't matter who they got. By the time they last season, by the time Daniel Jones got hurt, they were on pace for setting the NFL record all time.
Yeah, I remember that.
Getting a quarterback sacked, you know, between the three guys that were playing. So
yeah, because they were only the only team ahead of the Panthers I was tracking. It was one of the cool stats I was watching.
Yeah, they were going to break, like, the Eagles' like 1980-something record or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah.
Yeah, at one point they were on pace for 100. I remember seeing that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. So, yeah, it doesn't matter who's at quarterback if they can't throw the ball. So, that'll hopefully
Well, that's resident fixed. Giants fan, did they fix it?
I think they did, but I've thought that before. So, we'll see.
That's fair.
And also, like I've said a million times, you can bring in the best players in the world at offensive line. It doesn't automatically just gel right away. They need to learn how to play with each other. So,
well, they also have to be scheme fits as much as anything. I feel like that's what something a lot of teams mess up on is they don't get the right player for the right scheme, especially on offensive line.
Right on.
Well, all right. Chad?
Chad?
Easy choice.
All right. Well, I am currently trying to get it to load here.
Oh, you can't pick it, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, I paused it. Just tell me who you want, and I'll put it in.
Okay. I'm going to go with Rome.
Yeah.
I've not gotten any Rome yet, but I haven't really had any high picks. I had a 102 and a 107, and he didn't fall to me at 107, so.
Yeah, Rome's fallen to me at 107 a couple of times. So excited.
Yeah, he went right before that. I took Bowers at 107.
Also love that.
That's what I'm going to do here, as a matter of fact. So we're doing 0.5 premium for this draft.
Cool. I like them both.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you have to, I don't really – I think we've talked about these players quite a bit.
Yeah, that's fine.
We love these guys.
Well, let's actually talk about just the landing spot then. Not even the players themselves. Just the spot that they're at now.
Yeah,
that's the only information that's changed.
What should we expect from Rome? Like, what are you wanting to happen to where you're not like, damn, that was not a good pick at 106 in a loaded draft?
You know, I want better than JSN last year.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not too worried about JSN, but a lot of people are, and his value's dipped quite a bit, so I don't want that to happen. So I am expecting a little more, but rookie quarterback, rookie wide receiver, you have two very, very good veterans in front of you, a good tight end taking care, taking targets, some good pass catching backs. So your expectations need to be tempered year one, but I think there's very little chance Keenan Allen's back, number one. And number two, that DJ Moore contract is either up or out of guaranteed money, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So you just hold on. You know what I mean? Take the pick, grit your teeth, and hold on. You might get a little – it might happen. You might not get the production you need for the value to hold, but you're not trading him anyway. Rome's a cornerstone piece. Like, he's your – wide receiver too for the rest of his career. You know what I mean?
Correct. But you do have to think this is, you know, fantasy and dynasty specifically is like a stock market. Is it smarter to spend your 106 right now on Rome when or if you believe that he could be worth next year's 108, 109, 110 in a much most likely weaker class unless the quarterback room drastically changes?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of been my hesitation. I haven't had a chance to take him, but that's my
hesitation. I'm not sure really what you mean by that, though.
Well, looking at JSN, who would you rather have?
Are you saying you can take Bowers over him?
Bowers, and I would even look at McCarthy, even though I don't like the prospect nearly as much. But hear me out. In year one, which of those three players is most likely to lose the most value?
Well, Rome or Bowers have equal chance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number one, Bowers is a tight end.
That's fair.
He's a tight end. He's not in a great situation. He's got competition at the position. Not saying Mayer is just an amazing player, but it's legit competition.
Yep. That's fair.
It might not take his job, but could take targets from him. Plus, they have a really good slot receiver in Jakobian Meyers. Could take targets away. So it just could take away from his overall production year one. And you could also have a value dip there.
I agree, which is why you're getting him at 7. Same thing with Rome at 6.
Right.
But I guess I'm asking is it a smart investment at this moment to spend the 106 on Rome when we realistically could see the exact same scenario with JSN? Where now, I mean, you could send a late first. You could send 109 this year or 110 this year and probably get JSN straight up.
Well, I just where I disagree with one, I think that Rome is a significantly better player than JSN.
I agree.
I don't know if you guys agree with that, but
yeah, I do. Well,
that's
I don't want to
significantly not. No,
I would say he's a better prospect. He's better. Right.
Yeah, I think he's significantly better.
You're downplaying JSN too much, but that's okay.
No, I'm not. JSN is a very good wide receiver prospect. Rome is a wide receiver prospect that only comes around every so often. Like there's not maybe since maybe Jamar Chase is the last one where I'm like, other than this class, where I'm like, okay, this guy's going ahead of him. That's how special I think these top three guys are. So, yeah, I mean, I just think he's just a head and shoulders better player than JSN, and I don't think it's particularly close.
I'm not even talking about the prospect to prospect.
No, I get what you're saying, but what I'm saying is when you're talking – you're talking about in a scenario where you have a bunch of leagues where you're playing the law of averages saying, okay, if this guy dips, I can go and get this player. If you're only in two leagues and you really like Roma Dunze – and you skip out him because you're saying, okay, I can go get him when his value dips. What if that player that has him is like, no? You know? I've drafted him because I knew there's two guys ahead of him. I really think he's a talented player, and I'm not trading him away because I know at some point he's going to start, and he was an elite prospect. You know
so
what I mean?
And I put it this way. Let's make a comparison. I would put JSN's ceiling somewhere around like a Waddle or Devontae Smith type production. Maybe like Pittman, Ayuk, like borderline wide receiver one, wide receiver two. which is an excellent player. If he reaches that ceiling, I'll be very happy with the 107 where I got him last year in most drafts. 108 sometimes. Rome has top five ceiling all over him, written all over him. So
yeah, I agree.
It's a different level of ceiling, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't. So, I didn't even really mean to compare the prospect of the two. Like, I don't even care about that at all. It's so
Comparing them. I like comparing them because they're in similar situations where they're blocked by two really good veteran receivers.
Well, and I think when we're talking to an audience, right, and we're saying, okay, like, how many leagues are you in, Austin?
20 on the dot.
Okay. Yeah, I'm about in 14, right? So we can get away with doing that, and we can say, okay, you know what, we'll be able to get enough Rome shares across our leagues to say, all right, we're happy with that. We can go ahead and find him at a value later on and go ahead with J.J. McCarthy or whoever else, right? If somebody's in two leagues or they're in one league and they're listening to us and us saying, okay, skip out on Rome, you'll be able to get him later when his value drops. I mean, there's a very high chance that they're not going to be able to get him when his value drops.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's something I didn't think of, so thank you. I guess I'm solely asking if my thought process makes sense. If it's something for me and others that do have that, is that something I should actually think about? Or should I just take the player and live with the dip if and possibly when it occurs?
Yeah, I think the second one.
Okay.
In this situation where a player is that good.
Okay. That's fair. It was just something I've thought about. It scares me a little that, you know, as someone who has 20 leagues, that I have to think about dealing with, you know, a value loss on a roster can make the difference between, okay, I feel great going into next year, and or, oh, damn, you know, he's a flex player when I thought he was going to be my wide receiver too.
Yeah. Well, and I think the way you counteract that too is just setting your cap, like your player cap, and saying, okay, well, I'm not going to take – I really love Rome, but I know the situation is what it is. I'm not going to take over 20% across my leagues. If I hit that number, I'm done. And I'm going to start taking JJs. I'm going to start taking Bowers. I'm going to start taking these other guys and diversify a bit so that I'm not, you know, looking crazy a year down the road when nobody wants to give up a first for Rome Odunze, which I don't believe that's
going to happen. I agree. Yeah, but, I agree.
You know, let's just say hypothetically, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So you
still can get a first for JSN.
Correct. And
then you know what actually does scare me? J.J. McCarthy, right? Like, I like, you know, you guys know I was probably the highest of the three of us on J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. I actually really like him as a player. And I think he's really set up in this Viking offense. I think this is best case scenario, but I don't know if it's the pessimist in me or what, but he's got no excuse, man. And people are going to wait to hate on this guy. Like, they want to dislike him.
Yeah.
So if he does not do well this first year, his value is going to tank.
True, but it's going to boom until September, and that's something.
Yeah, certainly. Someone certainly.
In multiple leagues, that's something I always think about. Is from, you know, beginning of May until September, I'm going to have a pretty good window when, you know, he's throwing this 20-yard dot to JJ, who, you know, toe taps it in training camp. It's going to be like, yep, see, and then all of a sudden, I'm going to be looking at, you know, somebody sending me JJM and my 25 first for Jalen Hurts. It's like, oh, okay.
So I think it's a lot closer between Bowers and McCarthy than it is for Rome and McCarthy. I actually sat on the clock Saturday at 107 trying to decide between Bowers and McCarthy, and it took me all day to do it. Part of the issue.
Yeah, what a dick. One of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I rarely do that. You guys draft with me. You know I'm one of the fastest drafters. I have my queue set up. I'm ready to rock. I want this guy. But in this situation, I was just really hoping, you know, that either Rome or Drake May fell to me, and they didn't. So I already have Hockenson, Dalton Kincaid, and Ferguson. So I really didn't want a tight end. It is a 0.5 premium, so the value is still there. Justin Fields is my third quarterback. So, you know, I have Stroud and Trevor, I think, as my other guys. So it took me a long time to decide. In the end, it's the same quarterback scoring as P2. It's actually because it's Patreon 3. And it's the same 4-point passing touchdown garbage quarterback scoring. So in the end, I decided that the value just isn't there in that scoring system, and I'd rather go without a third quarterback than to invest the 107 in a third quarterback. So I went with Bowers, and I'm either going to play him at a flex position or I'm going to trade him for a really good wide receiver, which is what I need. But for now, I'm just taking the value.
PSA, just because it kind of sounds like we're shitting on Patreon leagues right now, the scoring is not that going forward in leagues. That's Patreon. that's Patreon 2 and 3. It's some of the first Patreon leagues, and the scoring is complete.
Leagues are right now.
Yeah, every league is different pretty much now, yeah. Which is really cool. It's a nice feature where, if, you know, you like a format or you don't, there's almost always a league that you can get in, or they'll create a new one and you can do it too.
Yeah, there's two tight end leagues. There's IDP leagues. There's all kind of crap. Mm-hmm. There's Patreon 14, the scourge of my existence.
Ugh. That one's something.
Did you see the trade that I made in there, Austin?
There were so many trades. I didn't pay attention. Well, to yeah. That was one of them I didn't have any draft picks in. So
I traded Courtland Sutton for Mike Williams and Jermaine Burton.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
What do you think?
That's fine. I don't really care about any of them, so it's fine.
I was a little scared to do it. I mean, not that I think Sutton's like some great shakes, but
yeah, that's what
I hope to get more than half a year out of Mike Williams.
Oh, and that's where you screwed up.
Yeah, I hope to Jermaine Burton is ever anything, because that might also be where I screwed up.
Man, if they do trade T. Higgins, Jermaine Burton's like value is going to go insane. Like,
yeah.
And I don't just think like, oh, he's going to get a little like starting bump. Like, I mean, he might get like legit first round prospect bump. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I do agree with that.
Yeah.
I've already got 3 or 4 shares.
I saw they said T, they didn't even offer him the matching Pittman contract. 3-year, $70 million.
Oh, really?
Said Bengals camp didn't go above $20 million a year. So that might just play out this season and go somewhere else. But we need to move because we've made 7 picks in 45 minutes. So
right on. Who you got?
I'll take J.J. McCarthy. We've talked about him enough.
Yeah.
We just keep going.
Yeah, I have no problem with him at 108. You got Chad at 109.
I'm gonna take Bo Nix.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I don't have a problem with that either.
Most of the drafts I see him go in the early second, which feels really good value.
I got him at 206, I believe was the latest I got him.
Yeah, that's absolutely blew my absolutely mind. Insane. So
I'm good with Nix at 109 or anytime after. If you need a quarterback, go with it.
I don't have any Nix shares.
I have 3 because they're so easy to get.
I had some. Yeah, I wish I had some, but I've just not. I don't know. In my leagues, he's gone earlier, I guess.
He's going to start right away. They've already said it. We love the fit with Sean Payton's offense. He's got his old buddy Troy to hang out with. I mean, I'll take a late first, early second on that. No problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I'm up at 110.
Yes, sir.
This hasn't happened in any of my drafts. But I get to take Xavier Worthy.
Yep.
It's beautiful. I don't have any shares. I can't wait to get one, but I got a lot more drafts starting soon.
Yeah, same. Yeah, he just went above Bowers and McCarthy in a league today.
Wow, I've got him at 110 several times. Like
I haven't seen him at 110 yet.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't think I would get any shares, but I've got him at 110 3 times.
I've got 2 Brian Thomas shares because Xavier Worthy was gone at 110. And I had 2 110s so far.
So. See, 110 is where I'm wanting to trade back a couple spots. I'm hoping somebody at 11, 12, 2-1 wants to get up and just give me something, you know, late second, early third, because I don't really want to pick after this. That kind of all feels the same to me.
It's a good call. There are a few guys there that feel like I like Ladd as much as I like those Xavier Worthy and Brian Thomas. We'll get into the running backs in a minute here.
Yeah. Oh, we're about to get into them right now because I'm going to take Jonathan Brooks.
Jonathan Brooks too early. Okay, go for it. Defend your too early drafting of Jonathan Brooks.
Well, as always, running backs are extremely in high demand. And in the draft, it's going to be team dependent. It'd be him or Ladd for me at this pick. I'm assuming a contender, they're going to want a running back. You're going to need a running back. So in this case, I'll take the clear-cut RB1, in my opinion, in what we've already discussed as a top 10 landing spot.
And Jesse, just to be clear for the audience here, you are in the clear minority on this podcast because I agree with Austin. I would have taken him here too.
Oh, I know that. I know I'm in the minority on this podcast, but you know, all right, then I guess I'll defend my.
Yeah, it sounds like you need to defend them.
Fine. I mean, your line is a fucking mess, and just because you brought in a couple guys doesn't mean it's automatically fixed. One. Two, it's a brand new offensive scheme and coach. Three, he's got two professional backs ahead of him. Four, he's coming off an ACL. I'm not saying I think he's a bad back. I just think that it's going to take time. He's going to have to learn the system, get up to 100%, and this may not happen to – and even with, like, the best backs drafted in a draft, like Jonathan Taylor, sometimes it takes half a season. Right, so this guy, it might take three quarters of a season or a whole season. And at that point, the value dips. And I just would rather have him at the top of the second or Trey Benson. I'm happy to have Trey Benson because I think James Conner is not going to really be in his way, you know, for long.
It's pretty crazy to me that you would call the Carolina running backs professional running backs and then poo-poo on James Conner. That is insane.
Well, it's just that James Conner is 100 years old and not going to be and always get
thrown. He's 28.
He's a year and a half older than Miles Sanders.
He is an old soul.
Okay, he's an old soul. Oh, my gosh.
I thought you were going to bring something else up. I was like, okay. But
I actually think James Conner and Trey Benson have sort of similar styles in a way, and that they're both a really good fit for that offense, and that they'll be used as a 1A and a 1B. And then Conner will get hurt, and Benson will get a really, like, really nice boost as a starting running back and a really good offense with weapons around.
Arizona's a really good offense.
It is. I mean, if we're this high on Kyler and Marvin Harrison and Trey McBride, then it's a really good offense, right?
Yeah, hey, I like it, but it's just the narrative you're pushing is pretty wild.
The narrative I'm pushing is that trade – number one, I like Jonathan Brooks, but I'm not as high on the talent level as either one of you guys. I don't think he's J.K. Dobbins.
That is true. That's true.
I think he's J.K. Dobbins.
No.
J.K. Dobbins is an elite running back?
Talent-wise, coming in, he absolutely
as a prospect.
I don't think so. I didn't think so. Okay, but that's beside the point. J.K. Dobbins,
I was high on,
is not relevant anymore. So,
yeah, I what I'm saying is I have Brooks, above Trey Benson in talent, but closer, a lot closer to him than you guys are. Like you guys do. I am happy to wait and just get Benson. You know, trade back a couple picks and not take a running back at 111. Trade back to 202 or 203 and get Benson and another pick. I would be happy to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, if I'm wrong about this, I'm wrong about this. But
yeah, it's
I'm just not as bullish. I think the biggest thing is you call it a top 10 landing spot. I haven't seen Carolina be good on offense in years, so I'm going to have to see it before I believe it.
Well, they don't need to be good on offense.
I'd like them to be. Running backs on bad offenses don't excite me at all. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want the running back on a bad offense.
I'll take Saquon last year.
Yeah, he's not Saquon.
Okay.
He doesn't have to. Jesse. He doesn't have to be Saquon Barkley. He just has to get the carries.
I'll take Rashad White. How about that one?
Yeah, and I'm not sure that he's going to get the carries right away either. I've already gone.
It doesn't have to be right away. It's the same discussion we just had over Rome, and you were totally fine with that. Prospect aside, The situation doesn't have to be cold in one.
I said because Rome was such a high level prospect, I don't
feel that. there's no running back in this class that is guaranteed to get RB1 snaps right away.
Right. Correct.
Not a single one. So give me the best one.
Yeah, I'll trade back and take the other guy. I mean, I have Brooks three spots later. So it's not like we're arguing over like a huge gap.
No, it's not even the big thing we're arguing. We're just arguing the situation that you don't think that's a good situation. I don't see how you don't see that. I can't.
Because they're a bad offense. And I don't. All right. Eventually, it could be good. But we'll see.
We will. Chad, 112.
Keon Coleman.
My man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all right. So I want to bring him to the second round, and this mock is silly. But okay,
I'm not going to take him if you leave him either. So that's okay. All right. So I brought up to you in the chat yesterday what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott said that they plan to start Keon at the X, and that's going to be his sole role. Please tell the people. I should not be worried about that. When we've all discussed all offseason that that's not the role to be put in.
I just want to see what it looks like. I mean, I'd like for him to be playing in a slot role. That's where I want him to start off at. I think he can play X, but I just think ideally we've seen a lot of prospects, with his struggles really be able to immediately come out the gate in that big slot role and look, NFL ready. And so I think it'd be a nice set of training wheels for him. And so that's why I thought that was an ideal spot. I think he can play X. I don't think he's incapable of it. And if there's an offense that I want him in, if they're like, okay, well, he's going to play X, there's an offense I want him in. It's that Buffalo offense with Josh Allen. So
agreed.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to poo-poo him. I was just it was something that I wanted to bring up because I love the landing spot, but that little sentiment worries me a little bit.
I mean, and he hasn't been in the building, right? Like, they're going to get him in. They're going to see what works. They're going to play around with it. And, I mean, this is just day after draft talk, right? Like,
yeah.
You can plan for whatever you want, but until you actually see the thing on the field and try to get the best out of it, they're going to tinker. I mean, those are, Bean and the coaching staff over there. They're going to figure it out, man. That's a good organization right there. So, as much as it pains me to say, because
and I think that's the argument for Keon Coleman is that he was 33rd overall. Basically a first rounder, and he went to the Bills with one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So, you trust that it's a good, it's a good coaching staff. I guess I trust Joe Brady to figure it out. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. The one thing that I was going to say about. I know some people in the Patreon chat have thrown out, Josh Allen wanting Keon Coleman. And I did hear Brandon Bean talk about that, that apparently Josh Allen is just as big a degenerate as we are. And he's going through and sending like 200 mock drafts during the off season over to the GMs over there. And
that's awesome.
Like, yeah. But anyways, he was making a joke cause he said that Josh Allen keeps sending them these mock drafts and he's like, what do you think? And he's got like, five players that are in like the Bills top 50 for their first five picks. And he's like, Josh, this is not realistic. Like, this is not going to happen. Anyways, he said that Josh Allen had been asking about Keon Coleman and wanted Keon Coleman. I've seen people throw out, well, Patrick Mahomes wanted CEH. And while that's a valid point, because it's not saying, okay, the player is guaranteed to succeed because the quarterback wants him, but it's a nice to have, right? Like, it's nice to know that, hey, our star quarterback, who is a premier player in the NFL, if not arguably top two, top three quarterbacks in the quarterback in the NFL, is saying, hey, this is the profile I want. This is the guy I want in a very strong draft class.
That's, yeah. I mean, I think that is something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
With all that being said, I would still take Brian Thomas over him, and I'm jumping at him at 201. It was a little silly to me that he would fall that far, but I'm very happy with that. We've gone over him as a prospect quite a bit, so I don't want to do that too much. The landing spot I really like. Agreed. I could see him. I don't think he's going to be like the target leader year one, but there's an obvious role for him. He's a better player than Gabe Davis, so Gabe Davis will just be marginalized. I mean, I could see 120 targets for Brian Thomas playing the Calvin Ridley role, which was goes and curls, right? And what does Brian Thomas do so well? Goes and curls. So year one, I think it's really good. I think year two, year three, you could see this guy, excuse me, you could see this guy turn into Trevor Lawrence's number one receiver. And if Trevor, you know, continues to progress, Brian Thomas continues to progress, it could look really, really good. Yeah, this could be a solid top 10 wide receiver for years to come. A lot of ifs there, but I do like
the situation. He's an if player, so it makes sense.
But yeah, but I do like the situation right away, and I do think that he'll put up good numbers year one.
Yeah, I agree. The better spots he could have gone for year one production. It's pretty crazy they cut Zay Jones right after as well. So
that's so
get out of it.
Well, he had some domestic violence stuff.
So. Yeah, true. It's Evan Engram wheels up for me, if we're going to be completely honest. But
I'm not sold in the landing spot, or as sold as you guys are. We'll see. Trevor's got to be better.
I agree. He definitely faded towards the end of the year. Yeah. He needs to progress for sure.
Yeah, if he doesn't progress, I mean, it could just be a bunch of average wide receivers again. And by average, I don't mean bad. I just mean like it could be a bunch of wide receiver twos in that offense, you know, long term, if he doesn't improve.
That's what it looks like.
As of right now, he can't support multiple wide receiver ones. Christian Kirk's going to get his. Evan Engram's going to get his. I want to see what Brian Thomas looks like in that offense. I really like Brian Thomas. You guys know I did have him slightly ahead of Keon Coleman. I just like Keon Coleman's landing spot significantly better.
Yeah. Definitely a better quarterback for Coleman.
2-2, right, I'll gladly take Ladd McConkey here, who I was deciding on at 111, so makes it even easier for me. Last week I talked about this fit, but it's an awesome dude that's always open with a quarterback who's not scared to throw it. Pretty easy. The only question for me with Ladd is durability. The injuries at Georgia were scary, but yeah, other than that, man, it's wheels up. He should fit right in with that. Whatever that offense looks like, it should be pretty easy for Herbert to find him.
Right on. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I love it. It's a great fit for Herbert. If you look at analytics, you guys know I'm not an analytics guy, but one of the things I did pick up about Ladd is that in his reception perception is it's green on outbreaking routes. And it's one of the things that Justin Herbert does particularly well with his arm strength and accuracy. So I just feel like you're going to see a lot of back shoulders to Ladd McConkey. You know, it's just going to be a thing on a constant basis. You know, PPR leagues, he's just going to be a monster.
Yep. I just got Tyrone Tracy at 5 point the fifth round, 5.3.
Nice.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What were you guys talking about?
Ladd McConkey.
Ladd, but you're on the clock as well.
Oh, yeah. No, Ladd's awesome. Good pick. Good landing spot. Good player. All right.
and Stafford. So my third guy is pretty old. So it's nice to have a guy, a young guy to develop behind him.
You know what I was, you know what I was hoping for, and some of my leagues where I'm competing, and I rarely, I don't, not, not even rarely ever, I never do this as far as trying to get a veteran because I have his backup. Like, I've never even thought to do that before, but, man, like, if you have the opportunity to draft Penix at 204, 205, and then you have the Kirk owner that maybe doesn't have the best team in the world because Kirk was hurt and ended up on, you know, got traded away for a, you know, player that was, I guess, just competing in the playoffs to help right. the team win. Going after Kirk and saying, hey, like, look, they just drafted Penix. Let me get Kirk from you. And trying to get Kirk and onto your roster and have both of them there. I thought that would be an interesting scenario to explore in the right situation. But, yeah, I just don't have any leagues in that situation. I, like I said, don't have any Penix shares. So.
All right, well, I think it's obvious that we take Penix at 204. Or anywhere in the early second, I'm so happy to take him. So I did mean to say last week, Chad, we kind of had a heated discussion about this. And I was asserting that it didn't make sense to take him because I thought he was going to go in the late first. I didn't think it made sense to take him there because you're hoping he gains value, you know, into that area, but he's going to lose value before he gains value. And we had this whole discussion. I didn't realize he was going to fall this far. So at this point, it makes perfect sense. I have no problem waiting 2 years for a quarterback with a second round pick. I mean, you know, we all know that second round picks don't hit all that often. So to spend it on, you know, something with such a high ceiling, I have no problem with that. Like a quarterback and super flex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that probably?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think that discussion was heated, but yeah.
I probably won't be taking many shares of, honestly, this guy or the next guy. But I've spoke that this whole off season, so I don't really need to reiterate it again and again.
I feel that whole night was heated, Chad, because there was so much excitement and so much stuff going on. I was just in constant. I was in constant. 8 was my base, you know. So I'm spiking the 10 quite a bit. All right, so I'm so happy that that was 203, right? That Penix went. I'm so happy to get Trey Benson at 204 for all the reasons I went over before. Do you guys have a problem with him here?
I don't have a problem with him. I probably won't take him, but I don't have a problem with him.
Chad,
this is where I've gotten him in the leagues that I have him. I've gotten him at 204, 205. Yeah.
All right, Austin, who you got at 205?
I'm gonna be a homer and take Xavier Leggett.
Wow. Okay.
Feel like he's in a pretty solid situation to see year one production, which is what I'm looking for in a second round. I'm trying to get as quick as possible to get a first round value. And I think there's a very solid chance looking at the board that he has as good a chance as anybody left to see year one value spike.
I like him in this range. I would just take Pearsall above him.
Fair.
But then he's about the same as A.D. Mitchell for me. You know, I have questions, a lot of big questions for both.
Chad?
What, am I up now?
Yeah.
Yes, but I was curious what you thought about the Leggett pick.
Yeah, interesting. I think it's...
you hate it. You can go ahead and say that. It's okay.
No. It's interesting because I like the player, and I have a lot of Leggett shares, like a lot. But it's because he's so easy to get, and I just haven't been forced to even think about him in this range. I've been getting him pretty consistently at like 2.9, around that range, 2.8.
He went 301 in one of my leagues.
Yeah. So I haven't even really thought about him here. So I don't know how to feel about that. I think, you know, when you've like, you've consistently, like something's always on sale, right? And you're consistently getting it on sale
and then they stop doing that promotion every so often. And you're like, well, I'm never going to buy this shit at this price. Yeah. Right? It's like the normal price. Like, that's how I feel about this pick. I'm like, well, I like the player, but no. You know, I've never had to pay this. But
like when McDonald's made you go to the app for the dollar menu? Yeah. Like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, exactly right. but yeah, so no, I like Xavier Legette in that situation and what he can potentially do for Kyler. I'm actually shocked that was the wide receiver they went with, to be honest with you, but yeah, I don't hate it.
All right, well, who you got here?
AD Mitchell.
Okay.
I would swap those two in every draft I took, by the way. So it's kind of, this is the flat tier point.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I would take Pierce all above him, but go ahead.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys, there's something about a player scorned that I love coming out of the draft, right? And you look at AD Mitchell's interviews post draft, and man, does he look like he wants to set the world on fire. Like, and they're like, when he was selected, he wasn't smiling. He didn't look happy. And at first that gave me a pretty shitty impression. I was like, oh man, like, yeah, you know, you would think he'd be happy. And his mom had to like grab his arm and raise it. Like, you are the champion, son. And he's just like, his arm's limp and he's like, doesn't want to be there. And I hear him in an interview and they're like, well, you know, how do you feel to be in Indianapolis? And he's like, you know, I'm really thankful for the Colts, blah, blah, blah. Really thankful. Everybody's going to be sorry. And I'm like, and he looks like dead serious. Like, he's like, no, I'm ready to work today. Like, I'm ready to get to it.
I mean, and I do like guys with chips on their shoulders. So,
yeah, and he looks like I've never seen a player come out of the draft and have that reaction. Like, we've seen the Dwayne Haskins, rest in peace, where, you know, he doesn't get picked and he has his headphones on and he gives like a little smirk when the Giants didn't pick him. And then we have like the Josh Rosen go out on stage and do this big kind of spiel or whatever and make a scene of everything. And who else? We've had several players just kind of go through this whole big routine and make it a big thing. But he just looked visibly upset and was like ready to go. You know, and I hadn't seen that before, so I'm really excited. You guys know I love the player, but yeah, I'm excited to see what AD Mitchell does in Indianapolis.
Right on.
Hey fellas, I gotta go. My puppy's throwing up. I don't know what's going on. So.
Oh man, I'm sorry. Yeah, go take care of your dog.
Yeah. Thanks, fellas. I'll catch y'all.
All right. Later. No problem. We'll finish it.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
All right. So I don't like the landing spot. I know I've been wrong about that kind of stuff before, so I do want to get a couple of AD Mitchell shares. It's not like I hate him. Mm-hmm. But also, like, we heard about some character concerns. I don't know if it's character concerns.
Personality.
Not character. Yeah, I don't know. He's not a bad guy.
It wasn't personality. It was, at least from what I heard, it was people worried about the diabetes.
Oh, the diabetes. Oh, and yeah, and that's what I heard, is that he has in the past done not done the best job at managing his blood sugar. And when it gets low, he like snaps at people and can lash out or whatever.
Yeah. That's immaturity. Yeah,
for sure.
I think that's going to be managed, right? They're going to get him on proper diets. Yeah. They're going to, I mean, it's a kid in college, right? Like, for not sure. Managing his disease correctly, and I mean, according to reports, we of course don't want to speak on that and say that was the case, but
right.
You know, it's hard to really, you know, kill a 20-year-old kid for, you know, not managing diabetes correctly. Yeah, you know,
I mean, that's true. But all that being said, like I said, I don't love the landing spot. I again would take Pierce all above each of the last two guys. But I love the landing spot for Pearsall. How can you not? You have to assume that either Ayuk or Debo will be gone within a year, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if that's what Shanahan wants, if that's the receiver he picked, then Give me that guy. You know, he's a first rounder, so he's got the 5th year option. You know, 207. I'm really, really happy to get him.
Yeah. 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 I really like Pearsall. I wish I had more shares than I do. I think it's because maybe I have a couple of guys ahead of him. You know, prospect wise, I just think, you know, personally, I think, you know, Mitchell, Brian Thomas, Ladd, all those guys, I think they're better players. Keon Coleman, I think they're all better players for me personally. I do like the fit though. Granted, he is a guy that I'm like, okay, he might not see a significant amount of usage immediately, and people are not really super excited about him. So he may be a guy that you can get, you know, fairly cheap. And I think that is pretty realistic, yeah, with him. But it's because he doesn't have the hype train going for him either, you know?
No. But it's 207, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And let's say one of those two wide receivers does get traded before the season starts. The hype train is on immediately.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right, who you got next?
Oh, this one's going to be tough. I should have thought about this. I'm going to go with...
Just take your boy.
I'm going to go with Polk.
Yeah. You take your boy, then I'll take mine.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with Polk. I like the fit there with Drake May. Like the capital, of course. I was telling you guys that he was going to get the capital. Really, really.
Yeah,
really,
I was surprised.
Think Polk was underrated. Man, my two biggest hits. Told you guys I didn't think Troy Franklin was going to get the capital, and I thought Polk was. I didn't think Troy Franklin was going to fall the way he did, though. That was what he go in the fourth or fifth?
Fourth. First pick in the fourth, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's not too bad. But anyways, that's off the subject here. So Polk, really like him as a player. Really excited to see what he does in that New England offense. I think what's exciting about that project is it seems like all these guys are going to come up together. And so they're really going to get all just a clean slate here to figure out, you know, if they can find their feet there in a really fresh project. So I really like what's happening there.
I just hope that they have some good offensive minds there. I really have no idea.
So yeah. Yeah. Me neither.
Alex Van Pelt. I don't know what that does for me.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah. It'll be fun to watch this year. That's for sure. I think it's probably going to be the biggest question mark on the year, but not in a bad way, you know, per se. Just question mark is in, we just don't know what we're going to see. But I just think they have a decent amount of talent coming out of this class. Where
it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah,
for sure. I'm very curious to see what it looks like. I'm probably going to try to watch a Patriots game in the preseason just to see. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly.
Yeah, I think they're also going to be given a lot of leeway because they've been so bad that anything that looks good or professional or has flashes, everyone's going to maybe double count a little bit.
Yeah, and if there's one thing that I almost said Josh Allen, if there's one thing that Drake May is going to do, it's flash. I mean, he's gonna be fighting a sack with one arm and throw the ball 70 yards down the field. And people are going to be like, what the hell did we just watch? and he's going to come up with one of those once a game, you know, cause that's what he does. Just every game, one play a game, he does something magical where you're like, what is happening here? So, Patriot fans haven't been able to see that. I mean, really ever, right? Like Tom Brady was not that kind of player. What he did was special in his own right, obviously probably the greatest player of all time. But they haven't had that kind of, you know, electrifying presence at quarterback probably ever. So that'll be fun.
Ah, man, besmirching Drew Bledsoe. It's a good name.
Bledsoe wasn't really, I mean.
He had a big arm.
He had a big arm, but it wasn't like, I mean, the dynamism of Drake May is just going to be different. It's going to be different.
Right on. My two shares love what you just said. Those are both Devy shares, though. So,
yeah.
But that means I've been on him for a long time. I just haven't been in that range yet. Trust me, I will. I mean, maybe a little foreshadowing for our draft that's starting tomorrow on RSL.
Yeah, maybe so.
I can tell you that he's probably not going to get past me.
Might not get past me, buddy.
Well, I have the 104, so.
Well, I have like five picks, so we'll see. I don't even know where they are. But I have five of them, so.
Yeah, but your highest is one pick after me because you cheated.
Is it really? Is that my – I did not cheat. I did not cheat. Okay.
Because you forgot to set your lineup.
I forgot to set my lineup. I'm the commissioner, and I offered to penalize myself by dropping my draft picks.
Right.
Like calling me a cheater on our
show. I'm sorry, that's a little too far. My bad.
but yeah, no, yeah, no, I know it's a jest. But yeah, I'm I hope you do get a share because, you know, I'm probably going to be talking about them all season. So you're not going to care if you don't have any shares.
No, I do. I have two. I have two shares that came up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. The Debbie shares.
All right. Well, with this pick, I'm going to take Blake Corum. He's my boy. I've been talking about him all offseason. And I mean, really, there's no better offense that he could have landed in. Yes, he's behind somebody that absolutely smashed last year for 12 games, by the way. They were doing everything they could to not run him into the ground at the end of the last year, meaning Kyren. Mm-hmm. They were giving carries to Ronnie Rivers and Royce Freeman. You know, I think Corum's going to have a role immediately. He's probably the most pro-ready back in this draft. Like I said, he's drafted into a system that he's gonna be really good in, with probably the best offensive coach in football. So how can I not love it? They beefed up their offensive line. It looked really good last year. They're really, really good run blocking line. And I mean, McVay just straight up said, if you're gonna play two safeties deep, we're gonna bring in these beefy guards and we're gonna run it down your throat. And that's what they did with Kyren. And Kyren's a tough back. And he looked really, really good doing it. But of course he got hurt. He's a little bit small to be doing that. So I, like I said, I think Blake Corum's a really good fit. I think he's going to get carries with the 209. I'm really happy to get him. He's been going a high second in a lot of drafts that I've been in.
Yeah. Some drafts I've been in as well.
I have a hard time taking him in the high second. I have a hard time taking him above this range, actually. Like, it's either Polk or Corum for me at 208.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's I think this is the perfect range. I think 209 is where I would take him to, actually. So yeah, I like that.
Now it gets really fun.
Yeah, it gets interesting. I'm between two players. Not sure if these are the two players that you would have in mind. But I'm just gonna go with the I haven't picked a Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go with the tight end here. I'm gonna go with Ben Sinnott.
Okay, cool. I have no problem with that, by the way. I mean, 210, it's sort of like whatever flavor you want, whatever your team kind of needs, or if there's a guy you really like. There isn't really a guy I really like here. Mm-hmm. So Sinnott's good. He got what, second round draft capital?
Yeah, I think pretty early second round draft capital.
Yeah. You know, and he's right? In that.
Was it? Wasn't it? Let me. 53rd, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, middle of the second round, that's good draft capital, and he's drafted into it.
It's really, really good draft capital.
Yeah, good offense that's going to, you know, that needs a young tight end and is going to use him the way he needs to be used in an air raid offense. I think it's going to
look really good. I wasn't really high on him pre-draft, but I'm really excited. I think one of the underrated aspects of this landing spot is him, you know, being behind Zach Ertz there. It's kind of worked out. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of worked out for every player behind Zach Ertz there, with Goddard coming in behind Zach Ertz. And say what you will about his production, but, you know, just for, you know, NFL purposes, when he's on the field, he's been a really good player. Trey McBride, you know, once he cemented himself in that offense, you know, look like he's going to be a really, really good player. And now Benson, it's going to be his turn here behind Zach Ertz to, you know, sit behind him for a little bit, see the way this guy operates. True professional. Zach Ertz, I think, one of the better tight ends of this generation. And
Cool. Next, I'm really, really excited to be able to get a guy with the upside of Jalen Wright with 211. I'm taking him. There's really no question for me that I'm taking him. I don't know. Yeah, I made this point in DWZ chat earlier. Like, he's number one. He's one Mostert ankle away from getting the Mostert role. He's a little bigger than A-Chain, although have you seen A-Chain's pictures of A-Chain lately?
No, I haven't.
He hit the NFL vitamin regimen.
Oh, okay.
It looks like he's been working out. But, you know, Jalen Wright's a little bigger, so they're going to use him probably the way they use Mostert, who's a little bit bigger than A-Chain. And he'll probably just step right into that role when Mostert's not there. And I think everybody in the entire planet was just amazed that guy didn't get hurt last year. So what's the chance that he stays healthy this year? And then once he's gone after this year, I mean, you're looking at Jalen Wright and A-Chain splitting the carries in that offense. I'm just really excited to get a chance to have a guy that could have a role in that offense. I don't know. It might not work out. He might go in there and he doesn't fit, or he doesn't understand the system, or just isn't really that good and it doesn't work out. But at 211, I'll take that chance.
Yeah. I like it.
All right. Close us out. Right.
So with the last pick of our mock draft here, at least for now, for this episode, I'm going to go with the player I was between with Ben on my last pick here, and I'm going to go with Malachi Corley.
Okay. That was the other guy I was considering.
Yeah, I really like the landing spot. I think he's going to there's nobody there that does what Malachi Corley does.
Right, they need a player like
Yeah, and if Rodgers is able to stay healthy, then it's gonna be fun to see him in that offense, get some of these shallow targets, and just get the ball in his hand and see what he can do with it. Because man, he's
right, people,
dude is electric with the ball in his hand. So that's gonna be fun. I think he could be what everybody wanted Rondale to be in Arizona. So it's gonna be really fun.
Yeah, he's a little bigger than Rondale, but. Yeah, if we can actually get him rolling, you know, in that role, it would be really nice to see.
Yeah.
You know, there's some questions about whether he projects to the NFL or not. And there's some questions of whether Aaron Rodgers will actually use a rookie wide receiver or not. But again, we're at the end of the second round to get a chance to have a guy that's dynamic with the ball in his hands in an offense that should be really good if Rodgers is healthy. Yeah, I like it. I really like it. To me, there's really nobody else that I'd consider there. There's a couple other guys that I kind of like in the third, but I wouldn't consider them there.
Just because Green Bay popped in my head here with the Rodgers talk, him in a Jaden Reed role would be really fun.
Yeah, agreed.
So yeah, that'll be really interesting. But hopefully they do something like that where they can use him as that kind of player, get him going early, and just get the ball in his hands. So yeah, it'll be fun.
Absolutely. Open things up for Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, certainly.
All right, so I guess we should just go over a couple honorable mentions real quick. Wilson.
Are we doing the next few rounds next week?
Yeah, we are. We're gonna do three. Oh, okay. So I guess
let's just leave for that. Yep. Let's leave.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So guys, next week we're gonna do rounds 3 through 5. It'll go a little quicker than this. these players that are coming up aren't nearly as polarizing, and we don't have nearly as strong takes on him. So I think that's it, right, John? Anything else from you?
No, that's it. It was really fun exercise here. I'm sure everybody's going to be starting their rookie drafts in the next coming days and months. So it is it's always good to get this first one out of here. I'm sure we're going to do maybe a couple more in the next few months. As far as maybe not rookie drafts, but maybe startup. I'm not sure what we're going to do, but we'll do more. We'll do more mock drafts, I'm sure.
Yeah. After next week, I think we might take a little bit of a break from rookie stuff and move to startup, because I think it'll be that season. And then I think we have a pretty big announcement that we'll throw out there as well.
All right. Yeah. All right. Sounds great.
All right, y'all. Thanks for joining us. For Austin Bell, Chad Mendoza, I'm Jesse Schneeman. And maybe one day, Major Mike Casper will be back. But that's not today.
No, that's not going to happen. Just kidding, Mike. We love you.
We love you, Mike. We are out.
Chase my problems and time keeps on dragging. Can't get away from the fact I've been slacking. Oh, despite the cost, you know I got to trot on. Trot on. Single into a double. Every curve we face along the road, it is the trouble. Try to wreck, we try to turn, we into rubble. Say it's not easy, oh, no. Won't you believe me?
Oh no, no, no.
From the sound like it's a cliche, hey, but the one thing you know, you only reap that you sow, and the crop that you